Slackers Ate My Neighbors, Episode 8. Yeah, straight motherfucking East Bay killer in the house. Spice motherfucking one. That's how you do it. You just mob up on a nigga, shoot him with his motherfucking head, and drag him out the car, and get your motherfucking mob on. Yeah, motherfucking G-Shit jumping off the nine, motherfucking fire. Bitch!
My guts ring fire. The bullet told me shoot that motherfucker, he's a liar. I talk to my 380 like a bitch on a stroke. When niggas try to dip me, I haul off and let a hoe kill them all. I can't be fucked in this game, I'm a psychopath. My AK told me to shove him up the nigga's ass. I'm having long conversations with Mr. Millimeter. He's one of my best friends, bitch ass nigga eater. And Mrs. Mossberg loaded up in that back truck. You know that old school bitch, she like to get in funk. It's bitten motherfuckers by the seams. Granddaddy, Mr. AR-15, said he was my only family. Shoot straight and please don't jam me. My own Glock pistol with me in my fucking head, cause he said I wouldn't buy the infrared. Got in a fight at a club, my cat started walking. Told me to shut the fuck up and let him do the talking. I woke up and it was sick to see them guts from my strap. Told me, Spice, motherfucker, you're born to die. Hands in the chest and one to the bone. The niggas got you slipping in your ass is gone. Born to die. Hands in the head.
Biatch! What's up, guys? This is Slackers Ate My Neighbors, Episode 8. I'm your host, Teen Idol, coming to you from the Valley, California. Here with me again are the usual co-hosts, Crispy, our female voice.
Me. What's up?
Me.
My voice got cut for a little bit.
And our self-proclaimed video game expert, Rab.
Yo, where are all the white women at?
There you go.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just explicit tag all over the place. So anyway, this is episode 8, our urban horror episode, or as I tagged it, Gangstas Ate My Homies. Do you guys see what I did there?
Oh, I saw it.
No.
Yeah. We're going to be reviewing two horror, I guess you could call them anthology films, in the vein of Tales from the Crypt and stuff, but these take place in the hood. In other words, urban America, you know, the ghetto, whatever you want to call it.
Thuggish, ruggish bone.
Bone thugs, Wu-Tang, I don't know. I'm just talking out of my ass.
Coldplay? Wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, hopefully this episode won't take too long, so let's get on to business. No worldwide weird this week, because don't want the episode to take too long, so we're just going to go straight into the warm-up question. And this week, I think this warm-up question was meant for you, Rab. You're going to have such a exquisite, just long, educated answer for this one.
God damn it, now you...
So the question of the day, guys. Relating to today's episode theme, who is your favorite gangster rapper? Crispy.
Why me? I wouldn't know.
Because I know Rab is just so anxiously awaiting to answer this.
Yeah, right. You're giving him time. I don't know.
Snoop Dogg? Are we talking?
I don't want to say Snoop Dogg. He's too overrated. What about Tupac?
Are we talking Snoop Doggy Dogg or Dr. Dre or Puff Daddy?
E. Diddy? I don't know. I don't know.
That's your answer? You don't know?
I don't know.
What? All right. I don't even listen to this stuff, and I have an answer.
I don't either.
Okay. What about you, Rab?
Honestly, man.
Just let me make this clear, in case people are wondering. The reason why I say this question was meant for Rab is because me, Yosef, our other co-host, and our soon-to-be other co-host, CRS, have all agreed that that Rab is the blackest person we know. Uh-oh. He's the thug one. He's where all our slang comes from.
Is true.
Take it away, Rab. Take it away.
Man.
Fuck. I'd have to say is between ODB.
Oh my god.
And
who is ODB for those that don't know?
I don't know who that is.
The old dirty bastard, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, ODB.
Yeah. That's as fucking good as it gets right there.
Plan. What?
That's as good as it fucking gets right there, ODB.
Fuck, man, that's a fucking hard question.
The RZA? Ghostface Killer? Kid Frost? Tupac?
Snow. Nah.
Snow?
Inform? No, fuck.
The Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Just sticking out his tongue all crazy?
I'm gonna just say Eazy-E.
Eazy-E, you know? There you go.
Just go with the Eazy-E.
You can't go wrong with the E. Just can't go wrong with NWA. Yeah, I guess I'll kind of have to echo that, but like I said earlier to Crispy, anybody that knows me, I don't really listen to this stuff until maybe recently. I don't know why, I just came along. I guess Rab.
It's fun.
I guess Rab was the influence.
Fun.
We made kind of a tradition of listening to fucking Eazy-E's, what's that fucking diss song called?
Which one?
The Eazy-E track. The track that we listen to when we're going to Dungeon or somewhere.
I don't even remember.
Oh my god.
What's a line from it? Go, bust.
I'm not about to spit in the podcast, dude.
Spit.
I'm not about to.
Do it.
Hold on. I'm looking through my iPod right now.
Okay.
It's like the whitest thing you could ever hear. I'm looking through my iPod. Hold on. Oh, jeez. All I see is fucking ODB here.
Wow.
I got, like, fucking Snoop Dogg in here. Some fucking Eazy. I got some Cypress Hill. Whatever, dude. Whatever. But anyway.
Boys in the Hood.
Such a good movie, but no. Where was I? Some of my favorite just that stand out. Obviously, me and the boys here and Crispy. Grew up in the 90s, so that was a big time for gangster rap.
Hmm.
So I'm going to have to say Ice Cube.
That's sick. Ice Cube.
That nigga's sick.
Forgot about him. He's in Law & Order.
He's probably... No, he's not. No,
yeah, he is.
No. Wait, no, he's not. Don't you mean Ice-T?
Oh, shit, my bad. Oh, my God! I'm turning into...
Ice-T, Ice Cube.
Well,
yeah, Ice Cube. That. Ice Cube's my favorite. Never really was a fan of Tupac, so fucking shoot me. Doesn't matter. Never really liked Dre. Really can't stand the new shit going on today, like Eminem. But whatever, you know?
That's old.
Whatever. What's the new shit then, Crispy? Is Lady Gaga like the thug thing to do now?
I guess. I like her. She's okay. I don't know, ask Rab. Is it good?
What the fuck would I know about what's hot right now?
Rab,
obviously you got him into, like, I don't know what.
Joining me is Rab, our resident black guy.
Yeah. Urban.
Like, it's weird because, like, you guys brought it to my attention, like, a long time ago. That I always play as black characters in video games. And I don't really try to. It's just, they're I mean...
Grabbing.
Like, I don't know. Like I played fucking Lewis in fucking Left 4 Dead. I played fucking Balrog in SF4. I played fucking Dudley in Third Strike. I played fucking Coach in Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah.
Like, there you go.
I don't even know what the fuck.
Dudley's hardly black, by the way.
I
think Hugo is much more blacker than Dudley. Anyway, we're probably saying some really racial stuff here. We should probably move on. we're Mexican, by the way, so if you want to throw some insults our way, go ahead. If you guys want to shoot back. But anyway. Oh, yeah, except for Crispy. But anyway, mini-reviews. Did you guys seen anything lately, Rab?
Crispy, go first. I don't remember.
Horror, no. Does it matter?
Well, do you have any recommendations for this episode? Just anything that stands out?
I saw First Blood and First Blood 2 the other day. Like, for, like, randomly.
Rambo?
Yeah.
It's good shit. Best one is part 3. I think I've said that like a million times, but I stand by it. Mm. Rambo versus Afghanistan.
Legitly though, never realized the fucking disgusting Coke ads all up in those movies.
I have not seen those movies in years, so
yeah,
I like, have no idea.
Like maybe it's because like I watched them back to back, but it was like right at the end of like fucking First Blood, like fucking Rambo like turns around and he's like surveying some fucking his domain or some shit, whatever, and there's a big fucking enjoy Coca-Cola ad, like billboard with like Santa Claus like sipping on a fucking Coke. And fucking First Blood 2 stars.
Oh, like, I thought you meant Coke, like the drug, cocaine.
No, dude, Coca-Cola.
Oh, that's what I thought too. I'm like, what the hell?
I guess it's just because we're talking about a Hood episode. We just
right. Cocaine. Oh my god, look what our minds have made.
Jeez, man, that's fucking racist. You're a racist.
Whoa, you said it, dude.
I know.
You said
it. Oh, and going back to the Coke. Oh, never mind. Today and
yeah, time, yeah. Never mind, Chris. Never mind.
Whatever, yeah. Fucking. Then at the beginning of First Blood 2, there's a fucking Coke vending machine like right in the dude's like office and shit. Then the dude's like, "Grab me something cold."
And well, I mean, the Coke was very popular like during like all that time, right?
Yeah, dude. Whatever. America.
Did they have those old school like soda cans that were fucking huge? They were like so much fatter.
Fat, yeah. Or like the Pepsi? Was it Coke or Pepsi?
It was Coke, dude.
Fuck Pepsi.
America.
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 Yeah, Rambo. Anyway. That's good recommendations. It's good. It's good stuff. What about you, Crispy?
You guys are gonna hate it. Okay. All I've been watching is Wedding Singer.
Like, anyway.
Well,
I like
then.
The Wedding
well,
Singer.
Ask me then.
I like the Wedding
Singer. Yeah, like you love that movie. Why are you mad?
Me and CRS always quote The Wedding Singer.
Exactly.
Then,
that's why.
Then
I'm
why are you hating?
I was just joking. It was a joke. I need to take a joke, right?
Yeah. Whatever.
Fucking hater.
I know. Pretend to love it. Yeah.
I do love that movie. It's Adam Sandler at his peak. From there, it was all downhill. Sounds like a country song. But okay, you guys got to start working on that horror. You guys been slacking on that. You were doing good for a while, and then I don't know what happened. But my recommendations are going to be Junk, Japanese zombie movie. Found it for $3 at a Closing Hollywood Video in Sepulveda. If any of you Valley heads want to check that out, I say bust. They got a bunch of cool shit for like $3. And Heroes season 1.
Oh my god, you've been watching that still?
You seen Heroes season 1, Crispy?
No.
I'm pretty sure mostly everyone's seen it, so there's not much I could say about it. But I did start watching season 2 like before I got on here on Skype. I saw the first 2 episodes and man, I was fucking
falling. What does the Asian guy do again?
I was falling asleep. Like the direction they decided to take Heroes Hero, the Asian guy's story, is just so bizarre and dumb. I just don't like it at all. And he was, like, my favorite character in the first season, so...
Really? Well, what did he do? What was his power?
He teleports.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
But he went back in time to, like, the 1600s or something with samurais and...
Wait, but that's time traveling. That's not teleporting.
It's so dumb.
So they fucked up there, right?
I don't know. It's just dumb. Like, I don't like the way they took it.
Stupid then. Okay.
But yeah, Hero Season 1 and Junk. Those are my recommendations. And yeah, moving on. This episode is just flying by. 16 minutes in, and we're about to go into our first movie review.
Okay, go.
Just so you listeners know, we're cutting a lot of shit this episode because, like I said, technically we're going to be reviewing 6 mini-movies since each of these movies have... 3 stories. Well, Tales from the Hood has 4 stories in it.
Yeah.
Hood of Horror has 3, so that's a lot of reviewing to do, so here we go. First movie review, Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some enthusiasm, guys.
Why do you always
ask? Yeah!
Because I have to make sure you guys are ready. Listening.
I wouldn't be on Skype.
Like, I'm sure you guys are surfing the net or something.
I'm not.
I am.
I know someone's looking at some pictures. I don't know.
Somebody's on SRK Street Fighter forums.
Hi, y'all niggas. No.
But anyway, Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror. Welcome to the Hood of Horror, a place where your actions in this life determine your ultimate fate. Follow Snoop Dogg through three terrifying tales from this nefarious neighborhood whose depraved denizens? What the fuck? I've never heard that word in my life.
Denizens means like denizens? The niggas that live there.
Denizens.
Wow, Rav. Ow. You're right.
Denizens can all look forward to a very unpleasant eternity. Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror features live-action horror combined with gore-filled anime sequences, which is a lie because doesn't only like the opening have anime? I don't know. I don't remember.
No, there's anime at the end.
Oh.
I think it's like between them all, too.
Okay. Well, it's created by Japan's Madhouse under the supervision of Academy Award-winning John Gaeta from the Matrix trilogy, Gross. And this bone-chilling, gut-bursting trilogy of terror proves once and for all it ain't all good in the hood. First off, I gotta say, I don't think this fucking movie proves anything. Shit sucks. And it's funny because the back of the box has tons of fucking, like, phenomenal, says Dread Central, and a flick that any horror fan can dig, says Toxic Shock TV. I don't know what fucking movie they saw, but...
They probably saw
Wedding Singer.
I'm just kidding.
Wedding Singer is a good movie.
Heard that, Rav? The comeback?
What? I'm not even listening.
Oh, you never listen to me! Fuck.
Well, this movie has, like, a bunch of fucking D-grade celebrities, like Danny Trejo... Jason Alexander from Seinfeld. That one.
Aries Spears?
Yeah, how do you pronounce his name?
Aries
Spears.
Arius, whatever.
From fucking
Mad TV?
Yeah, Mad TV.
I have something to say about that guy later on, because goddamn.
But wait, is that that bald guy? Wait, guys.
It's the black dude from the... Or,
I thought it was the guy that dies in
the beginning of the second one, like the partner.
No, the last one.
The last one.
Oh, okay. Weird. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. It has DDP, Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's in this. I don't know who thought it would be cool to put him in this. I guess because he was in Devil's Rejects. I think he had a small part in that. But Jesus. And the only actress worth mentioning, in my opinion, Daniela Alonso, Dibs. She was in Hills Have Eyes 2, the remake.
Whatever, dude. I have dibs on Posey.
That's what I'm talking about, dude.
You're dumb, right? Fuck right off.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
You could have seconds, dude, but whatever.
Nope.
You can go swimming in my spunk.
Jesus, man.
Oh. But all right. Hood of Horror, it starts off with like three stories. Well, first it starts off with a little animated sequence where we kind of see how Snoop Dogg becomes the, I guess you could say, crypt keeper of the hood. He accidentally in a drive-by shoots his little sister or something, and then Satan himself comes to him and gives him a bargain of trading his life for his sister's life, as in bringing her back. So he cuts his throat. Next thing you know, he's, like, walking down an alleyway with, like, some really slutty vampire chicks. One of them, which just for some reason keeps opening her mouth, like, showing her fangs off. I don't know. It's really silly. But then we go to the first story that has Daniela Alonso as Posey and Danny Trejo. And that one cholo guy from Training Day.
Is it that bald guy?
Yeah, the bald guy.
Okay. That's what his name is. Okay.
The guy that shoots himself in the dick?
Yeah.
I was about to say that.
I thought it popped. Like, I don't know. But then I know. Yeah.
The guy that shoots his cock off.
God, that was, like, painful even for me. Like, I was like, ah. Sorry.
Yeah. The first story is called Crossed Out. And it's, Rad, why don't you tell us what Crossed Out is about?
Spoilers? Or
yeah,
or
whatever. What? This movie sucks.
All right, so so it starts off with this chick named Posey. She's she's walking down the street, and she fucking...
It kind of, like, starts off, like, right away. These really slack off.
Like, it's actually sort of weird with this movie. Like a lot of the scene transitions are like, really abrupt.
Yeah.
It was weird. So she tags and shit. She's a Hispanic chick that tags because her mom was killed by her stepdad, I guess, and then he like drew blood, her drew like something on her forehead with her own blood.
Didn't he draw like words or something? Yeah.
Yeah, some shit. And then he shot himself, and so I guess while she was drawing,
so it's like pretty traumatizing.
Yeah,
you know, when you're a little girl, it's like blood all over your drawings. Like, what the hell's going on?
So apparently, that's if you ever want to become like a graffiti artist, that's what you gotta witness.
Yeah.
Not really.
Fucking. So she tags and shit, and she tags over some other like gangster ass tags and shit, and then these dudes, they walk up. These like three gangsters, they walk up and they see the fucking tag. They see Posey. They're like, yo, what the fuck is this shit in my hood, dog?
What
like,
is this pussy yeah, fag like, shit?
Yeah, like, what
yeah,
is this
it's
shit?
Pink
and shit. then they're like, nah, dog, that wasn't me. Like, I would know. Like, what the fuck? And
you know me better than that, fat cat.
And like so fucking Posey comes up and, like, defends her shit. And then, like, they're, like, fucking saying shit to her. Like, they're going to kill her or some shit. Then yeah, she like, does some shit to him, like, sprays him in the face with, like, some spray can or something, and she books it.
Say what's wrong with that scene. Like, you've mentioned it before. What's funny about that scene where she just sprays him in the face with spray paint?
That he would be a lot more hurt from that than
right, wouldn't he? Scene. He'd be like, fuck,
like, she sprays him with spray paint in the eyes.
Like,
he twitches like point blank. 2 seconds. He twitches for 2 seconds, and in the next cutscene, he has nothing wrong with him. There's no spray paint in his face, nothing.
Oh, it's totally
fine.
That.
It's totally fine.
But anyway. Whatever. So they're chasing him, or they're chasing her, and then she gets fucking stopped by Danny Trejo, and he's like a fucking crazy like witch doctor or something.
Like, he looks like wild demon-ish shit. Or something. He looks scary.
Whatever. So he fucking gives her this, like, tattoo that, like, gives her this power.
Doesn't he knock her out?
Yeah, like, whatever. Like, she gets knocked out, whatever. Then he fucking puts a tattoo on her, like, against her will, saying that, like, she's got to clean up the streets. And then, so she goes and, like, I guess she wants to get, like, revenge on these guys. So she goes and, like, she sees one of the tags and she crosses it out. Then in the next scene, like, one of them dies. Then, like, she realizes, like, oh, I have this power.
Whenever I cross names out, they die.
They die, yeah.
Whoever wrote
First person she crosses out is Fat Cat, which is that bald cholo from Training Day.
Let's not spoil all the kills.
Okay, well, we already spoiled this one, so the way Fat Cat dies, he just blows his cock off with a gun. Yeah. Yeah, well, like, trying to unzip his pants when he's about to rape a chick, and he just, like, blows his balls.
Boom.
Yeah, so she starts fucking crossing people out, like, as she sees that they kill them. Then she finishes those three guys off that fucked with her in the beginning. Then she can't stop. Like, she keeps on crossing out, like, random people. And these kids, like, these tagger kids are like dying and shit.
I know,
and,
that's sad.
Fucking then like at the end, I guess, like Danny Trejo's like,
like at the end she's done, she cleaned like supposedly the streets, but then like she just starts like claiming this new like, you know, white canvas place, and then that's when he comes out, he's
canvas.
Like, hey, what are you doing? You're doing exactly the opposite of what I told you to do.
Yeah, because she said that she promised the like
clean up.
What was that building? Like, was that a school or like a youth center or something?
I think
shit?
It was the outside of the church, wasn't it?
I think.
Maybe. Well, no, like the building where like the parents would go and like talk to the dude.
Yeah, that was a church.
Oh, like counseling, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she had promised the church guy that she would paint him a mural. And so, so whatever, like, she finishes fucking crossing out all these dudes and killing all these cats. Then she goes and she like, tags, like, some random, like, shitty little tag on this big white
she starts making, like, posy. Like, she starts making her pee and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and then that's when Danny Trejo pops out, like,
confronting her.
Fuck, blah, blah.
Like, what the fuck, slut? You're doing the opposite, bitch.
And then he chokes her.
You must be punished.
And then he brings those three guys back to life, and they fucking do her good.
They disembowel her body into, I don't know.
A pretty mural.
Yeah, next scene there's like a mural, and we're led to believe that that's made out of her body blood. Or some shit, because her eye is stuck to it, and Snoop Dogg pops up out of nowhere. He throws out, like, some one-liner pun that I wish I wrote down, because they were pretty fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Right before he just randomly takes a bite out of the eye. And that's the end.
Ta-da.
That's the end of the first one. Just in case you guys are wondering.
Oh, man, yeah, the first story.
Yeah, the first story.
Like I said, one of those deaths, like, the middle one, is like, really sick, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Last one, wasn't it?
One thing I'll give this movie... is it has, like, a lot of really cool-looking gore and death scenes. Like, that you gotta give it. But, just in case some people don't get it, this movie and stories is very, like, EC Comics-like. Like I said, Tales from the Crypt, where they give you three little stories that kind of have a, I guess, a moral in the end. But... yeah, just like three little paranormal whatever fucking stories put into one movie. And this first one crossed out, even though it was okay, it was the best one out of the whole movie. Right? Like,
yeah,
am I alone on that, or...
No, you guys it was. The ones? It was. I agree.
Yeah, I guess so.
I agree.
Okay, well, the little story started off okay. But then, like, when Posey got her power or whatever, it kind of started... It seemed like it was getting rushed. Like, a lot of the deaths were happening really fast, and they were less creative.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, the third one was, like, straight retarded.
With
the kid in the phone booth.
Yeah.
That was dumb.
Yeah, that was really quick and dumb.
That was some, like, gay 80s shit. Just kidding.
What?
Yeah, like, lame, cheap, like, fast.
The 80s were the fucking glory days, man.
No. Not like... Never mind. Just very simple. That's what I mean. Very simple.
Okay.
There.
Well...
I'm sorry to offend you.
It's also silly how when Danny Trejo gives Posey her tattoo, instead of her being like, whoa, did I get raped or something? She's just like, wow, like, that's cool. Tight.
Huh.
Looking at the tattoo. But whatever.
It's like, it was a pretty sick tattoo.
I guess... The movie didn't have nearly enough Danny Trejo, though.
No.
Dude's a sick ass. But anyway, I don't think... How do we even do this? Do we give scores, like, to each story?
Nah, just...
Just in the end, right? Just,
yeah, please.
All right, well, Crispy, you want to talk about the second one? The Scum Lord? It stars Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters.
Oh, about that Tex Wood guy?
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay, so it's about this guy named Tex Woods. Yeah, he is a douche. He wants to inherit his dad's money, so he kills his dad. And then... Oh, wait, is that his wife or his girlfriend? Like, I
think that's his wife.
Because I thought, like, at first they were, like, brothers, but then later on, oh, okay, they're not. But
that would be very disturbing.
I know.
I don't know why you would think that, Christy.
Well, because, like, you know, they were just, like, together. I don't know. White people are weird, I'm telling you. Well, those white people, sorry.
This one has...
sorry. Making it clear.
This one has some really awkward sex scenes, by the way.
Yeah.
Dude's, like, all humping her, and she's just, like, chewing her gum, staring off into the air.
She was reading. She was reading, wasn't she?
Was she reading? I don't even remember.
She was reading. Which is funny. But, so, like, his dad had this, like, house, right? I didn't really...
Yeah.
Like, he owned that house?
It's like a... what do you call it? Where, like, veterans go
Right.
A VA? I think it's... No, it's not a VA, is it?
It's like a kind of
like an old folks home. It's just like some veterans.
Yeah.
And they, like, well, actually, he thought, like, it was, like, a big-ass house in a nice area, right? But, you know, like, when he gets there, it's, like, all ghetto, and he's like, what? And then he's like, well, at least I got somewhere to live, and then he, like, wants to kick, you know, the residents that already live there that knew his father. But then they decided to... Wait, what did they do? Didn't he just decide to, like, live there until, like, they... found somewhere else to live, or was he just like
until they died? Like he
until they die.
I think it had like a stipulation that he doesn't get money until like those other people, until he's there for a year or the old folks die. Either one,
right? And like one of them was like kind of dying already, wasn't he?
Yeah, like one was like sick really or sick, something,
and he wouldn't like help him. So like he would just make him work more, and he wasn't he gonna pay him like 8 cents or something? Or
yeah,
didn't you see that? Like he's being
less
asked.
Than minimum wage.
Yeah.
I think that's actually a quote from the movie. Yeah. I think Ernie Hudson says that's a little less than minimum wage or some shit like that.
And I actually thought like Wanda was gonna be like the main character in this. That girl.
Who?
Wanda.
The nurse.
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought she was just a friend that came to visit. Yeah. Anyway.
All I could picture thinking about this little story is Ernie Hudson, the neglected Ghostbuster.
Oh my god.
Like, isn't it funny that, like, rap, Ghostbusters, the game, the new one, they got, like, all the original cast to come back except for Ernie Hudson, the black man? That sucks. They just, like, completely ignored him, but... Whatever.
Did they ignore him, or did he just not fucking want to?
No, like, they just didn't bother to, like, make him in the game.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. But go on.
Anyway, I forgot, like, I don't want to say, like, are we saying who dies and who doesn't, or...
I mean, yeah, whatever.
Okay, I don't know, so, like, if one of the old guys die first, or Wanda, I forget who... Does Wanda die first?
I think Wanda dies first, who's like a nurse.
Yeah.
She's a nurse that keeps going in every once in a while.
Yeah, she actually, like, helps them, right?
Yeah.
And while they're starving and stuff, she, like, tries to give them food. But, so Tex and his girlfriend, like, kill her. And it's pretty sick because they want to have a threesome before they kill her, which is pretty funny.
I think they do. They did rape her, didn't they?
I don't remember that. That's what I was led to believe. I don't remember, but... They kill her, and then they go after Tex and his girlfriend for revenge. That's pretty much it. Oh, but at the end, oh my god, that was pretty funny, though. What is that, like, what they stuff her with?
Caviar?
Oh my god, I thought that was so funny. The dog just, like, eating it out of her.
See, it sounds like we're giving really scrimpy descriptions of these stories, but we're really not. That's really all it is.
Yeah. That's the only pretty funny part, and... I don't know.
This fucking Texan guy basically abuses of the old veterans until they get fed up with it after one of the old veterans dies from being sick.
Right.
And, like, going more into detail, the Texan guy makes them remodel the whole upper floor into a suite.
For him.
So they're working, like, nonstop for him, even though they're veterans, like I said.
Like, it's also that, like, the money that they were getting from, like, the government and shit, like, he was...
Wasting.
Using all of that to, like...
Yeah.
Make his room nice and, like, not giving them any food.
Right. And, he was eating fucking caviar.
Yeah, they're feeding the dog caviar, his girlfriend, which is what throws Ernie Hudson over the edge. He's feeding the dog caviar, gets him really mad.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. I'm not saying anything about how much he hates dogs, but I'm just saying... But they take revenge. They stuff the girlfriend with caviar with some kind of vacuum or something.
Like, it was, yeah, vacuum on reverse.
She explodes.
That was so funny.
And then to the Texan, they tie him up to a wheelchair or some shit, and he, like, rolls down the steps until he smacks his head on, like, I don't know, something. But he gets stabbed in the head.
Oh, wasn't it the same thing he killed his dad with or something?
Yes.
The horns?
They were the horns that he put.
Oh, yeah. Like these huge bull Texan horns. Like a skull or whatever.
Because they were on the front of his car when he killed his dad, because he killed his dad for like seemingly no reason, like just because he was like drunk, I guess. And he killed his dad by like running him over, and he had those horns, and his dad got impaled. And then he brought those horns into the house, and he like mounted them on the wall or something. And then they like roll him down the stairs, and he like falls into it, and it goes like into his throat.
Which was another cool death, by the way.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they stuff the girlfriend with caviar from, like, a vacuum until she explodes. Which is also pretty cool, because you see, like, guts and shit fly everywhere. And then after the Texan dies, Snoop Dogg appears again in some animated form and bullshit, because Snoop Dogg's an excellent actor.
He, like, shoots the dog at the end for, like, no reason.
Oh, yeah. Snoop Dogg, of all people,
I didn't see... I remember that.
That's how much this movie makes sense.
Wow, but, I didn't...
But then he's, like... Then he's, like, there's only room for one dog in this house or some shit.
Oh, yeah. I remember now.
Such amazing puns in this movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this movie... I mean, this little story, I didn't think it fit in at all. It didn't transition well at all after crossed out. And
yeah, this one wasn't very hood, like...
Not at all. Not at all.
Like, except for the fact that the veterans were black, like, there was nothing hood about it at all.
Yeah. Like,
neither is the other one. Neither is the third one.
They tried to sell you...
No, the third one did.
They tried to make it seem like the apartment building is, like, in a ghetto area, but you never...
Yeah, but
really
they don't really show
that.
It.
Yeah, you don't get that.
You only see it, like, when he's in front of the car, in front of the house, or whatever it was.
But yeah, this one sucked ass, too, so.
Yeah.
Moving on from that, the Scum Lord. The last and final story of this disappointment of a horror movie.
Mm.
And the last one is called Rhapsody Askew. A-S-K-E-W.
Askew.
Well, this one stars... Aries Spears and DDP. And some other dude that's, like, so crazy, I'd be scared of him.
Sod.
Is that his name?
Yeah, Sod.
He's a crazy thug called Sod. What more do you need? Alright, but this one is about two rappers. Sod. We open up with him in a church begging God, like, to give him a chance to make it big. And then, as soon as he asks God for that miracle... A baseball flies in through the window, and it turns out to be Aries Spears outside, and turns out they were a match made in heaven. So, just right away, it just fast forwards to the future, to where they're getting famous, and from what...
Well, it's a match because fucking Sod is a rapper, and fucking Aries Spears, like, writes beats and shit. Like, that's...
Yeah,
that's...
yeah.
Match yeah. made in whatever. Okay, yeah. We
Match
get it.
Made in rap heaven or hip hop. But it doesn't go into character development at all. It just fast forwards, and we're led to believe that Sod, who was begging for a chance to be successful and promising to be good for the community, turns out to be a sellout, and he's just doesn't care about anything but money and fucking weed and... Bitches. But...
Get fucked up.
Yeah, and Aries Spears is, like, the loyal one who's like, man, I only care about the music, blah, blah, blah.
But he's a cool friend, so he still, like, joins in, like...
Yeah, but he's so loyal to Sod that he never turns his back on him. So then Sod...
That's a good friend.
For some fucking reason, I don't know, I guess he wanted more money or something, sets up this whole plan...
He's been cocky.
Where he takes them to a liquor store, and DDP pretends he's robbing the store and shoots Aries Spears in the head, and shoots Sod in the arm to make it look like a stick up.
So, to make it look not planned. Right?
Sod goes on being an asshole, and then they're like backstage at a show or some shit when he starts getting these visions of Aries Spears, who's very zombified or whatever. And this is my complaint against Aries Spears. Like, at the whole first half of this little story, he's like a really chill, calm, honest dude, like, who just cares about the music. But as soon as he starts, like, appearing to him, like, as a dead zombie or whatever, he turns into the goofiest, dumbest fucking actor in the universe. Like, he says these stupid one-line pun jokes while staring at the camera. He's like, oh, well, that's too bad for you, nigga. And then he just starts giggling, like, ha 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 ha, with his tongue sticking out. Like, what the fuck? Like, it's not even the same role he's playing anymore. This just turned into a Mad TV skit.
I love Mad TV, by the way.
Croissant.
But anyway. Oh, I love that one. You remember, right?
Yes.
You remember. Remember.
You remember. Remember. Yeah. But anyway, some old lady shows up who apparently has the HOH tattooed in the back of her neck, the same thing that Danny Trejo had and Snoop Dogg has, because
Hood of Horror.
Yes, Hood of Horror. They're like,
you didn't know.
They're like disciples of Satan or some shit. And she calls him out, like, we know what you did, blah, blah. Sod goes crazy, runs out, cops, starts shooting at cops, and the cops kill him. And that's it. This one was like 15 minutes long, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty short.
Yeah, it was pretty short.
It was the shortest, most uninspired one of the bunch. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know if they ran out of money or what, but this was the fucking worst. I mean, like, that's pretty much all there is to it. Then it just cuts to another animated scene with Snoop Dogg and his vampire bitches and...
Then it turns to cartoon, doesn't it? Like...
Yeah.
When they're all in hell.
Then he, like, just gives this outro, and the next thing you know, it turns into a Snoop Dogg music video while he's playing the song, Welcome to the Hood of Horror, and rapping with a midget Satan next to him.
Oh, yeah.
Stick around for the outro credits for that song. It's a good song. That's the only good thing that came out of this movie was that song. But Hood of Horror. What are your thoughts, Rab?
I mean, I think you're a little too critical on the movie.
Maybe because we're comparing it to Tales from the Hood.
That's funny you say that. Because I liked this one a lot more than
really?
Yeah, like, to be honest, I didn't really like the other one very much at all.
No?
That's amazing you say that.
Like, I think it might have just been, like, the gore and shit, or, like, just... I don't know, but, like, well...
Maybe you liked it because it was, like, more fun-ish, like, right?
I guess.
Not as serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Not as sentimental?
For me, I guess, Posey, like, that act, that whatever that little movie was, that one sort of makes up for the third one, the Sod one. Mm-hmm. So for me, like, it's basically Posey and the fucking... The one with the fucking text guy. Mm-hmm. Like...
And the last one you just totally ignore.
Yeah. Like, that one's, like, not even there. But, I mean, whatever. Like, I guess I just thought that Posey was hot. Like, maybe that's the only reason.
Like, yeah, that's the only reason you probably liked it, or what? Or you get a bonus?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I Googled the hell out of Posey, and I was looking for stuff.
Oh, God.
Daniela Alonso.
Just for the record, he does this for all the girls in movies, right?
No. So does not all of them.
Don't we all?
Some
know?
Internet ones. MySpace, Facebook. Be careful. But anyway,
whatever, man. Like, I give the whole thing like a 6.
Really?
It's a 6, yeah.
Wow. That's really interesting, because you're also the one that gave May like a 5 or something, from what I remember.
Wow, what did I give May? I forgot.
What about you, Crispy? What'd you think of Hood of Horror?
I liked it. It did kind of like get boring after Posey, whatever, but
It kept me watching, but the other one, like, I got bored more often than I did with this one.
That's why, like, I'm saying this one was, like,
what?
Right?
Oh, my goodness.
This podcast. Like,
are you going to go get a fork and just poke yourself?
This is exactly, like, what I wanted to experiment with this podcast, is what you guys were going to think of, like, good movies to the horror community compared to really bad movies. I mean, it's fine. Like, you guys, well, Rab more than you, Crispy, is more of a casual movie fan since
Oh, Crispy's... sorry, because I forgot I'm this important, right?
No,
so, don't even ask me. Don't even ask me to rate this.
You've seen more horror movies than Rab, like, that's for sure.
Because someone's always street fighting, that's why.
I don't know. Well, what do you give Hood of Horror, Crispy?
I was going to give it a 5. Like, really? I mean, yeah.
So Rab gives it a 6 and Crispy gives it a 5.
I was thinking a 5, not just because he said 6. Like, it's just a 5. I mean, it was more funner than, like, Tales from the Hood. I know what you mean, like.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess Hood of Horror
was. It was posy then, right? For you?
It was gory and silly.
The death scenes were posy.
Yeah, like, I like the gore. Like it was very visually stimulating.
It was kind of dumb, too, but funny, right? So, telephone booth.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the main difference, well, I'll get into that later, but overall, Hood of Horror, like, yeah, it was gory. It was really fucking silly. Looks like they were just looking for fun.
Yeah, like, it's not meant to be, like something that's going to win, like...
It's not horror, it's just comedy-ish.
Yeah.
But it does have, like, that little undertone of, like, the hood and racism, like, being taken advantage of in a way and shit like that.
But I think Tales from the Hood has more of that, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean, that I'll get into that later.
Not more.
But, I mean, I liked Cross Out with Posey. That one was okay, but after that, like, this movie is just fucking uninspired and worthless. I didn't like it at all. So, I'll give it a 2.
Jeez.
It's funny because, like, when I posted on Facebook or forums and stuff, I would say, like, yeah, my podcast, we're reviewing Tales from the Hood and Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror, and everybody... like, would say the same shit, like, Tales is a fucking classic, and they're like, but Hood is worthless, just don't even bother. So, it's interesting you guys liked it, but, yeah, that's Hood of Horror. 6 from Rab, 5 from Crispy, 2 from me.
2, 5, 6, yeah.
So, that was our first movie review, and now it's Rabble? No Rabble?
Fucking nope. Dudley and Ibuki and Makoto are in Street Fighter 4.
There's
a Rabble.
April 27th. Evo.
Yeah.
Evo is July. It's,
July 9th.
9th through 11th. See you there.
And then your birthday!
And then my birthday on the 12th. So is that it for the Rabble?
Yeah, that's it for Rabble. That's quite like, gentlemen.
All right, so now we're moving on to Tales from the Hood, 1995. Gotta say, I'm pretty surprised Rab and Crispy didn't like this one as much.
What? I didn't say that.
Well,
why are you putting words in my mouth?
You guys were saying Hood of Horror was funner. So
it wasn't funner. It's just like it's not as serious. I said it's not as like.
Okay. Well, Rab said he got more bored during this one than he did.
Well, Rab, I didn't say I got bored during this.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Shut up.
Anyway,
Crispy getting all offended. Whoa.
Jesus. I mean,
whoa.
I didn't say that. I mean, okay, jeez. Rab didn't
like grabbing onto her mic.
Whoa, dude, not cool.
But anyway,
I'm outside, I'm freezing.
I was telling Rab and Crispy during our break that when I announced that on forums and sites that we were going to review Tales from the Hood and Hood of Horror, most, like, genre fans, automatically their response was, Tales is a fucking classic. And Hood of Horror is worthless. Don't waste your time on Hood of Horror. Just watch Tales from the Hood like 3 times. So I'd seen this movie before, like as a kid, so I remember it quite fondly. And it's not available on DVD, so I had to buy the VHS for like $3 online. This is a really underrated classic in my opinion, but like Hood of Horror, it's another like film anthology composed of short films. This time there's not really a crypt, well, sort of, there's a crypt keeper, but it's not as silly as Snoop Dogg, like, saying puns and shit. This movie does have some dark comedy, but it kind of fits well with the characters, because that's, like, how these type of people would talk, because, I mean, we all have friends like that. Right, guys?
These type of people?
What do you mean, like,
these type of people?
Like thugs, dude. Like gangsters, you know?
Oh.
Like you're very thug rab.
Oh, is that what you mean?
All the slang on our group comes from rab. Every slang you've ever heard me say that you have no idea what I'm saying, it came from rab, so. So Tales from the Hood.
This operation.
Tales from the Hood is like Hood of Horror, but it's really, really serious, and I'm pretty sure Hood of Horror was somewhat inspired by Tales from the Hood. And unlike Hood of Horror, that was silly and shit, Tales from the Hood actually has a really deep undertone, kind of hidden message. Being produced by Spike Lee, you would kind of expect that, but this movie's all about, like, fucking showing you what gang life was with, like, African-American violence, gangs with each other, and the drugs in the ghetto. Racism, really strong racism shit. Yeah. So this movie's, like, much more than just a horror movie. Mm-hmm. It just takes the horror approach to convey the message, I guess you could say.
So when did this movie come out?
95. So that was, like, during, like... that pretty much was, like...
That was when people were really, really openly racist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like
you can really like feel it. Like
that's
hard.
Why this movie's like more sentimental, I guess. Right?
That was like when Snoop Dogg, ironically, was exploding around that time. But yeah, so the movie opens up with three like thuggish gangster-looking dudes picking up a drug shipment that Clarence William III from Hoodlum or Deep Cover. Maniac cop, American gangster, that guy. He works at a funeral
home.
That's
where that motherfucker was from. I couldn't figure out who the fuck he was the whole time.
He's been in so much shit.
Yeah.
Like, I kept, like, movies where he's been just kept coming to my head. Like, oh, he was in that, and he was in that, too. So.
Like, I just couldn't put a name on his fucking face.
Dude's an awesome actor. I fucking love that guy.
Yeah, he's good.
But he's running a funeral home. He seems really offbeat, like kind of out of it in the head. But he claims he found like this huge like cocaine packs or whatever, and he's gonna sell these three drugs.
He just says the shit. Like it's.
Do you have the shit?
Oh, the shit. Oh, I have the shit. Like all crazy. Like
while,
with the crazy.
His eyes are like moving left and right.
Yeah.
Popping out.
So, obviously, before he goes straight ahead and gives them the shit...
He gives them
little...
Tour.
Yeah, a little tour of the funeral home, where he keeps opening up coffins, and he's showing them the bodies inside and the story that goes along with it. So... And then it gets really fucking sick awesome at the end, but... we'll just go on to the first story. First story is called Rogue Cop Revelations. Do you want to talk about this one, Rav?
Wait, what?
Crispy. Talk.
Crispy.
What? Well, which one was that about?
That was one with the cops where...
Okay, yeah.
Oh, well, actually, I didn't even read the synopsis. I don't even know if I have to, but... should
whatever
I?
Want. Do whatever
yeah,
you
I
want.
Yeah, I guess. Just read it.
Okay. Well, tell us from the hood. Whoa, wait a minute. Oh, wow, both these movies open up with the exact same first sentence in the synopsis. Welcome to the Hood of Horrors.
Oh, wow.
It's a
maybe
place.
That's where Snoop Dogg got the name. Like, maybe that's like a like an homage.
It's a place where your worst fears have come to life. A place where it's hard to tell nightmares from reality. A place where you will discover tales from the hood. That's it. that synopsis says nothing, but okay. All right, well, just go on, Crispy. Rogue Cop Revelations. It's about the crooked.
Yeah, the cops. Okay. So it's about some black guy who's trying to be a cop. Well, what?
I don't know.
Well, I can't say.
Go on. Just
I can't say that, and you guys can. Fuck.
Wait a minute. Should I just? Let me actually do this one, because this is the one that I remember the best.
No, this is the one I liked.
All right,
fine. You hated this movie. Okay, remember? Okay. So I don't know what the deal was, like, with the other, like, white cops. Like, I don't know why they really didn't like this preacher or pastor or whatever he was.
Because they were racist.
But then he was there with them. That's why I was like, what the hell, you know?
The guy was, like an important,
politician.
Right,
something.
But I mean, then they had another, like, if they were really racist, they wouldn't be nice to him at all, right? Never mind, but...
They weren't nice, they killed the man.
Yeah.
I know, they did, but I mean, like, then after, like, you know, the guy just dropped, like, he didn't want to be a cop anymore, because he was like, fuck this, like, they actually did that and I can't help him, you know? Because he thought they were kidding, and once he turned around, like, they just, like, killed him.
Well, he was a rookie cop, so, like, he didn't know any better.
Still, though, like, I mean, okay, so they kind of, like, I guess traumatized him. He, like, became a bum, right? Or something?
Well, he quit the force, and I guess he was just traumatized because he witnessed the murder of a strong black man politician who was waging a war on drugs. Right. Yeah, an important figure.
So then he started hearing the voices, and they actually drew, like, a mural of him, like, on a wall or something. And basically it was just, like, traumatizing him more, saying, like, why couldn't you help me, you know? And did it suck him in? I don't remember.
What?
Am I confusing that with some other movie?
Yeah, you can do it with the ending.
Whoa. Oh, okay. Whoa.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I can take it. I guess take it from here.
So the dead politician fucking, says, like, bring them to me.
They kill the politician, mm-hmm. but they frame him, so they ruin his name.
Yeah.
The white cops, they inject him with heroin, drugs on him, and then they, like, throw him
they
off.
They throw him off, like, yeah, in a car or something, right?
So not only did they kill him, but they framed him and ruined his name at the same time. Obviously, like, giving people, like, the people that were looked up to this guy lost hope because they thought he was just a hypocrite, junkie, or whatever.
Right.
So, the rookie cop, I guess it fast forwards in time to a few months or whatever, and he's like a bum, and he keeps hearing the dead politician's voice, like, Clarence, bring them to me.
Right.
And then, so he's, like, going nuts. So he calls it's 1 year later, because he calls the racist cops over, and he says it's the 1 year anniversary since, like, that night. Mm-hmm. And then the cops just decide, you know what, like, all right, we'll go out to the grave of the guy where you want us to go. Mm-hmm. But, like, as they're walking, they whisper to each other, like, Clarence, like, won't be coming back. So, in other words, they're going to kill him out there, too.
Right.
So, from there, they go to the grave. They start fucking around. They piss in the guy's grave.
Yeah.
And then, right when they're going to kill Clarence, and one of the cops is pissing on the grave again.
Right.
It goes dead alive on our ass. And
the first one that dies Well, the first one that dies, wasn't it the main vampire from Dust Till Dawn 2?
Saw part 2.
You suck. it's the main dude.
The one with the mustache? Like, the bald?
He's a like a Latin-looking guy. Like a Hispanic, light-skinned Hispanic guy with, like, a mustache.
Nah, I don't think it's him then. Because that cop was a white dude.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been the second one then.
Okay, well, the first cop with the mustache, like, zombie politician guy reaches up, rips his dick off, or, I mean, they don't show it, but I just assume that.
Right.
Pulls him into the ground. Pulls him into the ground, kills him, then, like, next thing you know, we're looking at the zombie politician guy holding up the head. Yeah, and he's holding the head of the other cop or whatever, so they freak out and they run away. Zombie politician guy keeps popping up everywhere. He rips the other guy's head off while he's hanging on from on top of the police cars or trying to get away. And then in another, like, in a... how can I put this? It's like a strong imagery of the film is when the last cop is going insane. They show him like running through this alley, and you could see needles everywhere and like homeless.
Oh yeah,
this minorities. Like, so it's like that right there is like just sets the tone for this movie, like showing you what life was like over there in the urban areas. Mm-hmm. So the cop's going crazy, yelling at the bums like, "I killed him. He's dead. He's after me, blah, blah." Then zombie politician guy uses some crazy magic powers that make needles fly at him.
That's so cool.
Until he's like, I guess you could say crucified on a mural of the black needles. Politician guy with needles. And then like the portrait kind of just absorbs him, and next thing you know, it has the...
Oh, okay. So that's what I was confusing it with.
He, yeah.
Like, sucks him in and he's the painting. Yeah.
So then at the end, the cop, like, the bum cop, black one, finally confronts the zombie and he says, like, "Are you happy now, brother?
Yeah.
I brought them to you." And then the zombie politician guy, like, just chokes him and tells him, like, "Where were you when I needed you, brother?" And drops him. Next thing you know, he's in a crazy house. And there's two crazy people, like, "Yeah, he killed three cops in one night. And get this, he used to be a cop." So... Yeah. Obviously, they blamed him, and that was the end of the first story.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of talking.
The next story is, I think, like the one everyone remembers, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember watching the second one, like, when I was younger.
Yeah, I think the second one's easier to remember.
But, the boy, right?
The next one?
Yeah. But for the cop one, like, this is, like, I thought this was perfect to open up the movie. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It totally sucks you in and just, like, yeah. Whoa. Everything looked really cool. There's one weird-ass scene that I still don't understand to this day, and it's when, like, one of the cops accidentally grabs onto the black zombie politician guy's, like, chest, and he rips it open, and there's, like, a green vial.
Oh, yeah, it's like green goo heart or something.
I don't get that. I don't know where that's from. I just don't understand. And they, like, put focus on it, so... I don't know.
It's, like, needs something, obviously.
Must be missing something. Yeah, what'd you guys think of this first one, Rab?
Thought it was good. Thought it was the best one of the whole movie. I thought the main cop should have died. Like, the main, like, douche cop should have been the one that got, like, crucified.
Right.
Because the one that ends up, like, dying last, like, that was, like, the decent cop.
The partner.
Like, the one that,
right.
Like, wasn't that much of a douche, but, like, still, like, a douche.
He was kind of defending the cop when he was a cop, so... So, yeah, I see what you mean.
Mm-hmm. But the fucking... The flying syringes, like, that shit was just really hardcore. Like, they're just, like, levitating with, like, fucking wires and shit, like, really awkwardly. Like, she was just, like, really funny.
Makes you kind of cringe, though, when that last needle, like, goes inside his mouth.
Yeah, that was gnarly.
What about you, Crispy?
Well, I liked it. Like, it was kind of more, like, I guess, like, sentimental to me. Because, you know, like, you do get sucked in. And, I mean, it wasn't boring. I don't know if Rab thought this one was boring. Probably.
No, this one wasn't boring.
Yeah. Nigga was bored hanging out with his niggas. Son of a bitch.
Jesus, man.
But okay. Yeah. Moving on to the next story again. I guess Boys Do Get Bruised. It's a strange title. But you want to talk about this one, Rab? Crispy? Volunteers?
both, whatever you want to start, we go in. I don't know.
Walter, the little boy.
Okay, it's about a little boy, and
his name's Walter.
Okay, his name's Walter.
It's just a very whimsical name. Let me point that out, Walter.
His Walter is like this little kid who obviously goes to school, and his teacher, I guess, notices him. Like, he always has bruises, or he's always hurt, and he's always like, does he get beat up at school? Right?
Yes.
He does. Okay, so he's like the little wimpy kid, I guess, at school. And his teacher gets worried about him because he sees like bruises on him, and then he thinks like, you know, they're hitting him at home. The little kid keeps saying that it's not anyone at home, and that it's this monster that comes out of his, or that comes into his room at night and just like comes to hit him for no reason.
And he's drawing pictures of this monster in very strange dance-like poses.
Right, and then the teacher like goes to his mom and tells him, you know, I think, you know, he has a problem or something, or what's going on. But I think it was when he goes over his houses that he finds out who, like, really is hitting him. Right? It's not his dad, but like his stepdad or something.
Yeah, he like goes over to his house, talk to his mom, and his mom's like, nothing's wrong. But then like you hear a horn outside after a while, and.
And then she's obviously, like, get out.
Yeah, she, like, freaks out. She's like, you gotta go.
Go home.
Like, obviously, she's hiding something. And next thing you know, David Alan Greer from In Living Color and shit walks in. Go on.
And, okay. So then he comes out. He's all, like, rude when he comes in. Like, oh, what's he doing in here? And then she just makes up some lie that supposedly they were discussing his grades or something, how he was doing in school. And the little kid, doesn't he run into his room or something when he sees him?
Yeah.
Well, no. He's, like, scared.
He's just, like, sitting there listening.
Well, like, I guess the teacher gets it that he needs to get out because I guess it bothers that one guy, whatever. So then...
Oh, and we forgot to mention that when he's in school and the teacher's talking to him, he tells... And he sees the drawing of the monster, like, Walter tells him that, like, some... I don't know, some little girl in the class told him to draw.
No, that was, like, after.
Scares him. No.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, it wasn't. No.
Yeah, like, she tells
him. The little girl stays after because he doesn't go to recess since he gets beat up, right?
Yeah.
So then she tells him, like, if you burn it or if you destroy the paper, rip it or something, like...
Draw the monster and then, like, destroy
it. Yeah. Right.
So then, actually, like, there's this weird scene where there's a picture of he drew the bully.
Right, then, like, the kid hits him.
As the teacher walks out, like, Walter gets up and he crumples up the paper, and then the next scene you just hear, like, the little kid
scream. The ambulance
There's an ambulance because apparently, like, the kid fell down the stairs, but he has, like, all his
bones everything.
Yeah.
He didn't break down the stairs. He just, like, fell off the playground, supposedly, out of nowhere.
Yeah, but, something like that.
So then that's how he finds out it works. That's before, like, the teacher goes over his house, whatever.
Yeah.
I forgot how it, like, how the guy gets mad at Walter, though, like...
Well, because he sees...
Obviously, he's mad that the teacher's there.
Yeah, and he sees the drawing of the monster, and that's what, like...
It's true.
Yeah.
So then, I guess, like, he runs upstairs, whatever, or no, they stay down, like, in the kitchen, whatever. He's, like, about to beat him or something, and the mom, like, I guess, goes in to defend him, and he just, like... I guess just, like, hits the mom, and she's, like, on the floor. I think she's still, like, yelling when the teacher, like, comes in to, like, try to save him.
Yeah, and David Alan Greer just fucking starts beating up everybody's ass.
Yeah.
Like a badass.
And everyone's just trying to, like, at the end, everyone's just trying to reach that paper of the drawing. And they, I don't know, the mom, I guess, like, turns on the stove or something?
No, like, Walter finally gets it and he crumples it up. He, like, starts crumpling it up slowly, and then, like, he bends it, and then it cuts to David Alan Greer, and his arm bends back, like, all nasty.
But he keeps fighting, like, it's not even hurting him, like...
Yeah, and then, like, he twists it like if he's squeezing or some shit, and you just see, like, David Alan Greer get all twisted and nasty, and then he crumples in, and the next thing you know...
Right, he's like a blob.
Yeah, like, he's just like a blob on the floor, still moving. Like, oh,
and he's
shit.
Like, I'm gonna get you! Or he's, like, still threatening them, like, he's gonna hit them, which he can't, because it's physically impossible now, but...
Yeah.
Then eventually they give Walter the honors of burning the paper, and he gets destroyed and melts and vanishes.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. I didn't really like this one. I never really liked it. Like, even as a kid, I just didn't like this one.
It scared me as a kid, this movie. This one.
David Alan Grier is really cool in this one, but I don't really like it.
I didn't get it, but I'm watching it now, I do. Like, I mean, as a kid, okay, it was a monster, but it really wasn't.
Yeah.
I did like this one. This one was my second favorite.
I liked all of them.
The movie. Fucking... We didn't mention, though, that, like, when... like, at night, like, you would see the kid in his bed, and...
Oh, yeah, the shadows would scare him.
Yeah, like, they'd be, like, something at the door, like, shaking the door, like, fucking...
Mm-hmm. That would scare me.
Yeah, like, grunting, dude, like, growling.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, like, when it finally gets in, like, he just, like, fucking...
I think it was sad. Like, you see his face, like, oh, he's just getting ready for it, you know? Just like,
you see the silhouette of, like, Beast.
Yeah. This is a big, crazy monster. Yeah. It's good. It's good stuff.
Okay.
Next.
I mean, I also read online that this one was supposed to portray as what, like, life was back in that day for kids with, like, all domestic violence and shit.
Yeah. I think that's the idea.
These kids witnessed, like, their parents and shit, like, always fighting and beating them because they were, like...
That's what I like about this.
Addicted.
It's, like, sentimental, like I said, right?
Yeah, they're, like, addicted to crack, and that's, like, how life was back. Back in the hood in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, again, deeper than what you think it is. And the next one is Slave Voodoo Dolls. Mm-hmm. Rab. You want to read this one?
I hated this one.
Really?
Yeah.
I love this one.
I hated this one.
This one's awesome.
Maybe it's just because, fucking Puppet Master used to give me nightmares.
There you go.
Yeah.
But it's not like that, really. Like, it's kind of less. Like, it wasn't, like, you know?
Yeah, but just like the effect, like the residual effect.
Where you getting creeped out by all the
stop!
Little dolls
I'm
running
outside,
around.
Man.
So cool. There's this guy that wants to be like what, like president or like governor? Or something?
Governor, I think.
He's a former KKK leader.
Right?
Yeah. That's like the thing that everyone's getting offended on. Like, what the hell? You know?
Yeah, and because the governor house is it's a former
plantation
house.
Yeah.
So this guy's a former Klansman, and he wants to be the governor, and his whole, like, he's actually still, like, pretty racist.
Yeah.
But he's saying that, like...
He's not.
He's saying that he's, like, turned over a new leaf, and that, like, if everybody can, like, forget the past and forget, like, whatever past, and then fucking his PR guy, I guess, he's, like, telling him, like, you should say, like, this and this and that, like, to try to get these guys to like you or whatever. And, I guess he says, like, something racist, like, the PR guy, like, says something racist near the end. And then he gets tripped by one of the little... Oh. Okay, so...
No.
There's a little puppet, right? And he fucking trips the fucking PR guy. And
he tells them the story first.
He tells them the story, and plus there's like all the people protesting outside the house are
telling the
media that the house has it's like haunted, but it has a supernatural force of puppet dolls that have the souls of past
and no one's been able to find them.
Yeah, it has the souls of slaves inside the dolls, so, and nobody knows where the dolls are, so it's kind of like a legend amongst the townspeople.
There's
like a painting on the wall that, like, that's got like this old, like, black lady sitting on a rocking chair, and she's got all these puppets. He's like,
friggin' hundreds of
them
around.
Like, one of them keeps like disappearing, and
no,
like,
the main one first, like the one on her lap.
Yeah,
like he notices it, and then later on. It's not there on her lap. It's just like some black shadow. So it's like, huh?
Yeah. So whatever. Fucking the little puppet like starts fucking with shit and
tearing shit up.
Yeah. Like, I don't really remember much from this one.
I mean, you're on the right track. Not much happens in this one.
Yeah.
It's pretty linear.
So he asked this guy to help him. And then this guy's filming. And then while he's explaining everything, he trips over something and he falls down the stairs and he dies.
Yeah. And
in the video, he realizes, like, the doll.
The doll tripped him.
And then he finds the doll in his limo. And he's like, what the fuck is this doing here? And he throws it back out.
And then later on in the night, the doll finds its way back into the house, and that's when the whole gets, you know.
Don't do that. I'm outside. Seriously, come on.
But yeah, like the doll finds its way into the house, and then crazy KKK guy starts fighting off the doll.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. So fucking the guy like starts like fighting him and shit and like throwing him around, and like the little doll like runs at him and like jumps at him. It's
scary because he keeps getting up no matter how much he like whacks him. Like,
yeah, and then like so on. Then the fucking rest of the dolls, they like slowly like come out of the painting, and then they all fuck him up.
They
and then,
eat him.
Yeah, like what I thought.
Don't they all like get on top of him, like just like?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the guy falls and shit. Then they all just like run at him.
It reminds me, like, of a fish tank. Like, if you guys
and
have
for
fish...
Some reason,
sorry.
And for some reason, the guy just lays down. Like, he just, like, lays down and lets them eat his face.
I mean, if you saw a bunch of dolls running at you, I'm sure you'd get, like, paralyzed. But I don't know if you would just fall straight.
I would start getting a hockey stick.
Just start boot stomping around. Skanking.
You know? So, yeah, they fucking rip him apart and they eat him. And fucking... Yeah.
The old lady like comes out of the painting too, holding.
Yeah.
Right.
She's just like watching all of it happen in a rocking.
Yeah, like she's just like some normal old lady. She's just rocking away while they're all on top of them.
Oh, and one scene we forgot to mention that like really used to freak me out as a kid is when he's like going nuts, getting pissed, he starts beating the fuck out of the painting with like a flagpole.
Oh yeah! Oh my god, that's like the most important part. I forgot.
And then like he hits the old lady in the face in the painting. He hits the painting,
that was
the old lady
crazy.
In the face, and the blood starts coming out of the mouth, and that's when he starts freaking out. That shit used to freak me out.
How the fuck did I forget
that?
Was
a cool
scene. God damn it!
Yeah, what did you think about this one, Rab?
I didn't like it.
What freaking?
I just didn't like it.
It's just traumatized the puppet master.
Damn.
Like more than just that. Like, this is where I got like bored. Like it was just boring.
Really? I thought you got bored on the first one, cause.
No, like the first and second one, like I dug them. They're good, but like this is where I like, it was too slow and just too
tripping.
meh.
Tripping. What about you, Crispy?
I like them.
I love this one. That's all there's left to say is I loved it. Mm-hmm. So obviously, the undertone of this one, you know, is racism. It's slavery. Mm-hmm. Not much to say there. It's wrong. There you go. So finally, the last story, and I guess I'll talk about this one, is
legitimately, like, let me just say something.
Yeah.
Like for all the movies, like I took like some notes and shit, like some random little notes. And for this one, the only like noteworthy thing that I wrote down, like legitly, like I just wrote sideburns.
Oh, for the last one.
Yeah.
That's fucking strange because the last one is the most important one.
I just wrote sideburns. Like that was the name that I put down for that one, and that was the one bullet point. Just sideburns in all caps.
The name of the story is called Hardcore Convert, some shit like that. And it stars Crazy K. That's not his real name, obviously. That's the name of the character, Crazy K. And he's the one with the epic sideburns Rav's talking about.
Incredibly epic. Like,
they're like
the craziest sideburns I've ever seen.
Perfectly groomed sideburns.
Like Pedro Infante's?
He's...
Like, I'm a fan, like big fan of these guys' sideburns.
Well, he's a thug, obviously, and he is the just He is the fucking craziest nigga who just doesn't give a fuck. Like, this dude is crazy. This is the type of guy you'd be scared of. Like, you wouldn't want to fuck with him. But it starts off, and he's driving, and he runs into a rival gang member in another car. So he chases him down in the car, then finally confronts him, and he guns him down, like, at point blank. And after he guns him down, that one gang member's friends come out of the house where they stopped, and they and they shoot him down. And, like, this is where the story gets interesting, because when he's down on the ground bleeding to death, we're led to believe that he survived, but this will bring into play later on, because from here it goes into a very Clockwork Orange turn. So Crazy K is, like, in jail, and they tell him, like, hey, we have this program where if you're sentenced to life or whatever, you could repent your sins and have a second chance at life. So he agrees, and they take him to this experimental program where they strap him down, and, like, in the most powerful scene of the movie, they show him, like, a montage of a movie that has, like, this crazy fucking rap music. And it has, like, these insane fucking pictures of, like, slaves being lynched and hanged, and, like, gang members shooting each other down, and, yeah, and torture. And, like, that scene right there is really, like, what this movie's all about. Like, it's
that was telling before, you. Like, the cellmate, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that was actually after. I forgot to mention that, yeah.
Yeah, tell them.
Like, before that scene, there's, like, another really fucking important scene where they throw him in a cage, and then next to him in a cage is, like, a white dude, and, like, this white dude just starts telling him, like, you're a crazy fucker, you know? Like, I want you to join my army, blah, blah. And then, like, he starts telling him about this crazy army, and they're, like, planning on wiping out a race. And then, like, when he looks at this white dude's tattoos, he realizes he's tattooed with Hitler and all these KKK and Nazi shit everywhere. And, like, he gets pissed, and he, like, punches him in the face, and then, like, the white dude just laughs, and he's like, let me ask you something. He's like, that person you killed, like, what color was he? And, like, he just laughs at him, and he's like, you're already part of my army. You're killing your own people. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's really another really fucking important scene of the movie. But after that fucking that montage movie they show him, the last test they give him is they put him in a chair, and
like
then,
in,
like,
a dark room.
Yeah, in a dark room with, like, flashing lights. He starts having illusions of past people he's murdered, and they're all confronting him. Like, why'd you do it, Crazy K? Why? Why, Rab? So then,
why?
Like, Crazy K, like, you could see, like, regret in his face, and he's like, I had to do it to survive, blah, blah, blah. But then after he starts getting fed up with it, he grabs, like, one of the nurses, and he's, like, choking her, and, like, the doctor's telling him, like, no, you don't have to do this. This is your second chance. This is your last chance. You know, if you regret it, you'll have another chance at life. But he's just yelling, like, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. And he just keeps repeating it over and over until finally he, like, it just blacks out, and you could still hear him repeating it, echo, like, I don't give a fuck. And then it just goes back to him being on the ground where they shot him down. And then the three gangsters that shot him down, they kill him. So, obviously, Crazy K didn't take the second chance of life. He ended up dying. And then in another revelation, the three gangsters that kill him turn out to be the three gangsters that are
at the beginning, that are visiting the mortuary.
Yeah, the ones at the funeral.
To get that money package, whatever.
With Clarence Williams looking for the shit.
Yeah.
The shit. The shit.
And then they're like, oh shit, we do know this nigga, right?
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we know him. And, like, that's when they get crazy pissed. Like, this guy knows we killed him, and they start holding guns to Clarence Williams in the funeral home. Like, enough bullshit. Like, show us where the shit is.
Right.
And again, he's like, the shit. Oh, yes, the shit. So he takes him down to the basement, and he shows them some coffins. And then he's like, that's where the shit is. Oh. It's in the coffins. So they open the coffins. And take it from here, Rab. What's in the coffins?
Spoilers.
Yes, spoilers.
it's them.
Oh my god. Dun, dun, dun.
So in the coffins are those three same gangsters themselves. And who wants to be the one to bring this end, this glorious ending to a close? Volunteer Brad.
You do, Brad. Man.
Mister, I find it boring.
You do, man. I'm bust.
It was such an epic ending. Like, I hate you for not liking this movie. Okay, so Clarence William goes on to his this epic speech of, you know, like, you're not in a funeral home, blah, blah. That night when you killed Crazy K, you were gunned down too, and then they flashed
by his like gang.
No, it was the cops.
Was it?
Yeah,
the cops. Oh yeah, after they killed him.
They killed those three gangster guys. So they're dead and they're like, "No, man, like what the fuck's going on?" Mm-hmm. And then Clarence Williams finally like, "Welcome to hell," and
everything just turns into like
a very cartoony animated tongue comes out of like the gap in between his teeth and
like a snake.
His clothes rip off, and next thing you know, he fucking transforms. He just transforms into Satan. And then the next scene, he's just in fire and brimstone laughing like a huge fucking demon as the three gangsters are, like, twitching around in some fake-ass fire.
Right.
That's it. And that's it.
That
is a story that makes Tales from the Hood stand out as a cult classic and just... brings a tear to my eye. So many good memories of my childhood right there.
Mm-hmm.
So what about it, guys? What'd you think about Tales from the Hood, Rab?
What do you mean? Oh.
Mr. I like Hood of Horror better.
I don't know, man. Like in retrospect, like the last one was good. I guess I just like forgot about it because it's been so fucking long since we watched it. Like, I guess it might have just been the third one that just sort of killed it for me.
The slave dolls?
I'm not really sure why. Like, maybe it's just my fucked up...
childhood.
My fucked up fear. Nightmares from...
childhood fear.
In general.
Damn you, Charles Band.
You got rats.
But, whatever. Like, it's good. It's good. I'd give the movie...
I'm doing the angry video game nerd face right now.
What did you give the other one?
You gave it a 6.
Gave it a 6.
Oh.
Like, I guess I give it like a 7.
It's good.
Bitch. Good. That's my number.
I'm happy just as long as it's higher than Hood.
what
about you, Crispy? 7?
All I gotta say is Rav's a liar. He's just saying that because he remembered how good it was.
Exactly.
I loved it. It was awesome. And I was going to give it a 7.
I forgot.
Anyway. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Say that whole thing again. I was talking over you. So I don't care what you say.
Okay, I said, what?
What?
You're a dick. You're a dick and a liar. And yeah, I was already going to give it a 7. Even though I did like it and it wasn't boring at all.
Okay. Well, me... like I said earlier, this movie has some really deep meaning to it. It has a really awesome soundtrack, and I'm not even into rap. The acting is great. The stories are fucking fun and well written. The fact that they have a deeper meaning makes them stand out even more.
That's what I said.
I saw this as a kid, and this is one of the very few movies that actually holds up just exactly as I remember it as a kid. So... it's very underrated. I'll give this movie a fucking 9. 9.
Jesus.
You guys hear that? 9.
Emphasis on 9.
Deserves a 9, if anything. But yeah.
Well, cool.
Those are our two urban horror movies. And this is a running series, so expect more. I think for the next one, we'll do something like Leprechaun in the Hood. So.
Really? They have that?
Of course they do. You never seen Leprechaun in the Hood?
Nope.
Oh, you're gonna love it. But yeah.
Cool.
That's our two movies for this week. And I guess now it's time for emails. Crispy, we got an email this week.
Mm-hmm. So, should I go?
I hope you're listening to this one, Rav.
Don't interrupt me too, like, Rav. Just wait till
really
I'm done.
Talk shit about Street Fighter or something?
I don't know. Go on, Crispy.
Don't interrupt me, please.
This is coming from Gory Vaginal Discharge.
I was gonna read that.
From Morristown, Tennessee. What a name, dude. Honestly, what a name.
But I know.
Go on, Crispy.
So, did it. Okay. What up, slackers? This is Gory Vaginal Discharge from... coming to y'all from... What was it? Morristown, Tennessee. I gotta give you guys a round of applause because I'm a huge fan of your very loose show. I listened to a few other podcasts like Cadaver, Lab, and Horror Stuff until they stopped. And they all have a well-thought-out planned show. But what I love about your guys is you have your plans but still keep it loose, which is not true, and chill among yourselves. It's easy to tell over the headphones that you're all good friends. Teen Idol, you really know your stuff, dude. It's obvious the horror genre is more than just a hobby for you. Big props, Rav. You're a funny son of a bitch.
That's his big props,
maybe,
man.
One day, if you ever...
Those are my props.
Ever around my neck of the dick, we can have some brews. Me and you and the rest of the slacks. Crispy, I have some buddies over here that they're huge horror fans. And believe me, hearing a young lady talk about it like you can lead to many inappropriate conversations that should be heard by a young lady's... Whoa, that shouldn't be heard by a young lady's ears.
Jeez.
Wow. Okay. I do have
that. There's that southern kinda charm. Right? That southern charm.
Anyway, enough ass licking. I do have one minor complaint, though.
Oh, no.
Trust me. I love you fellas, but honestly, in the rabble, can we hear about something else besides Street Fighter? I don't mind the tournament talk during the show and shit, because it's always some fun listening to adventures. But in the last Rebel, I had no fucking idea what Supa was. Until it all started making sense.
You should see
maybe
how he spelt it, Rab.
About past horror-themed games he helped, or something new coming out. Don't matter if they're old school, since I'm sure most of y'all audience is most older than the younger. Anyway, that was just a small grip I had with the show, other than it's all good shit to my ears. And I was looking forward to it tons. I'ma toss back a beer for y'all fellas in a bit before I get my hands on some
Bayonetta.
Later. And then he's like, later, faggots.
This email had tons of misspellings, by the way.
I know.
I'm just
trying my hardest.
Yeah. That's a lot of words, right? I had no idea what they meant, but what do you have to say, Rab?
Let me just say the main reason, this is my apology to the audience, but the main reason that I don't talk about other games right now or that I haven't been is because my Xbox red ringed like a long time ago.
All I do now is
play Street Fighter once a week with these guys. And in general, like, that's sort of just what I do. But if I had my Xbox, then I'd be more inclined to be, like, more interested in what's going on in current gaming news. But okay, I digress. Maybe I'll start getting back into that stuff.
And it's true talk. He's not kidding. Like, he has a red ring.
Yeah, like, I haven't been gaming hard at all, except for once a week when I go to fucking Dream Lab with these guys and play over there. But yeah.
Okay.
There you go. There's my excuse.
Mr. Gory Vaginal Discharge.
Yeah.
It's so... I don't know.
Thanks for writing in, buddy.
Oh, man, that was a long paragraph. Well, for me.
And, like, I just want to ask... like Gory and our last episode writer L, and I think Kelly was the name that wrote into our iTunes. Like, how did you guys hear about this show again? Because
yeah, you never say how.
If you guys are on the MySpace, I mean, you could like maybe let us know who you are and we'll put you in the top friends or something. But
so what?
Yeah, nobody ever says how you guys found out about the show, so just something I'm interested in. But yeah, that's
wait.
What?
Let me just say, Gory Corey, call me.
Who?
Oh, Gory Corey.
Jesus.
Oh, Rab. We saw you in the campus center, Gory Corey. Just saying. But anyway.
Who's that? What?
It's one of our fans from the.
Don't
MySpace.
Worry about it, Crispy.
Why?
Don't worry about it.
I actually haven't been on the MySpace in a while, but obviously I'm going to have to update this stuff. But anyway, that's it for this episode. Let us know either, again, through emails what you think of the show, maybe recommendations, or the MySpace at myspace.com/slackersatemyneighbors. Our Podomatic at slackersatemyneighbors.podomatic.com. My email, teenidol_12@yahoo.com, or leave us a review on iTunes, on the iTunes store. Any plugins? Shout out, guys.
Should we give our emails, Rab? Like, so then just, you know, Teen Idol won't get them all?
I don't know why they send them to my email if I'm, like, giving out the MySpace. Like, that's why I want to know how, like, people find out about the show. Because if they're on the MySpace, they could just send it to the MySpace. I think it would be less trouble. But I don't know. I don't mind.
I mean, like, a lot of people don't even have...
Don't even have MySpaces.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to make a Facebook.
Check mine ever. Yeah, maybe you should make a Facebook.
Hmm.
I don't really...
Weird.
...know what's up with social networking besides Twitter nowadays.
Yeah. But, last but not least, March 8th, the Splatcademy Awards go live, and... The guys at deadlantern.com, Splattercast, asked us, your fellow Slackers Ain't My Neighbors, will be presenting the award for Best Horror Video Game of 2009. So check that out at deadlantern.com. Shit's going to be fun. Go listen to us make fools of ourselves.
Yeah.
That was a fucking catastrophe.
It was
so bad. Yeah. Like, it's crazy because... like
I'm embarrassed already.
the Splattercast is like the most popular, I like to think, like horror podcast out there, and with the like these third annuals for like Academy Awards, they've been getting like crazy fucking like PR and shit. They got the chick from Dead Girl to put up a video, and she's like, "Yeah, check it out. They nominated my movie. She's hot, by the way." And this year, they're giving the Lifetime Achievement Award to Joe Bob Briggs. If you guys know who that is. And he actually is calling in for a speech, thank you speech. The Sleepy Cast are interviewing Rob Zombie for the Splat Academy Awards. And, like, every fucking horror movie podcast is just promoting the shit out of this. So, like, I don't think you guys have a clue how many people are going to be listening to our dumb shitness. We really fucked up. Whose fault is that? Whose fault is it? I'm not taking the blame for this one.
I'd say it's Crispy's fault.
Why? You guys suck. Always blame it on me. And you know what? Actually, it was going kind of good until, like, Idol started messing up. Remember?
Like, I started messing up.
Yeah, you're like, oh shit. Oh my fucking god, I can't believe I forgot what I was going to say. You kept forgetting what you were going to say after, like, complaining to us, like.
Tripping.
Okay,
all right, but that's this week's show. Next week we're gonna do another original versus remake episode. We're gonna do The Hitcher from 1984 with Rutger Hauer, and the Platinum Dunes 2000 remake of The Hitcher with Sophia Bush. Dibs. So yeah, any last words, guys?
I hate you.
Super.
Biatch.
Bye.
The neighborhood. Welcome to the place where all the creatures meet. The last building on the left on the dead end street. You find skeleton bones, abandoned homes. It's the hood of horrors, nigga. It's on. Ring around the rosy, wall full of posy. She had the power for the hour, but she chose me. Wrong way, but you say, hey, she didn't do it right. Now tonight,
and death is in sight. You just might, cause this life, Frank Knight, with a little more bite. I'm kicking back, sitting on my phone. Fire behind me, murder, murder, blind me, half pipe beside me. My comrade, my homie, the two slinks that are taking gank anybody for me. I'm the Crypt Keeper, yeah, the Grim Reaper. You won't even see me wanna creep up. Welcome to the
Welcome to the place where all the creatures meet. The last building on the left on the dead end street. You find skeleton bones, abandoned home. It's the hood of horse, nigga, it's on.